When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Kind of like the Alabama Crimson Tide Saturday in Columbia. Better late than never for Aftermath here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with you following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 29-22 win over those pesky South Carolina Gamecocks. Afternoon, Williams-Brice Stadium. Hard to believe that game was just a regulation game. In retrospect, kind of felt like it was maybe three or four overtimes, but it was 60 minutes that decided it. It took all 60 minutes, especially from the Alabama side of things. The Crimson Tide gets it done. Whatever you thought of the performance on Saturday, and it was kind of an every other quarter game for these two teams. First quarter, it was South Carolina in terms of total yardage. But you had the pick six for Alabama from Deshaun Jones. That gave Alabama a 7-3 lead when it felt like anything but a situation where Alabama should be in the lead. Then the second quarter, it was pretty much South Carolina, but the Crimson Tide still went into the break with a 14-6 edge. And then you get into the third quarter, not a great start. It really wasn't a great start to the finish to the second quarter. I didn't think into half Alabama handled that probably as well as it should have with that possession there with an opportunity to go up two scores before the break and you're getting the football to come out to start the third quarter. And I wasn't a huge fan of how the fourth quarter went with the final possession. I thought maybe we would see some tempo for Alabama. No panic though from Kalen DeBoer and offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, because if anything, I thought Alabama was patient at the end of the fourth quarter offensively, more so than it was at any other point in the game. Just felt like offensively, Alabama went for the home runs and paid for it. Because if you think you're going to sit your quarterback in the pocket with those type of edge rushers and Brian Thomas Jr. And Dylan Stewart, you might have a rough time. And it was for Alabama for a lot of the football game. We'll talk about it all here on Aftermath. If you'd like to jump on board, we'd love to hear from you in the show chat. Already getting some comments. I think this may sum it up better than anything. From Jay Fravel, 135. Just a simple damn. Damn. Yeah, I think that kind of sums it up. Ed Keeley here says, Ryan Grubb's play calling late in the game was spot on. We talked about it before. Whatever you thought of it for the first 55 minutes or so, and I do. I think Alabama was a little impatient at times. He always seems to have something in the bag for end game, for red zone. You know, on the touchdown that cut it to 22-20, I turned to a friend of mine. I said, well, I think they may have just used their two-point play just to get in the end zone. No, Ryan Grubb, as we saw on the two-point play and utilizing Jeremy Bernard like he does and the trust that he and Kalen DeBoer have in Jeremy Bernard to be another conduit behind center to go along with Ty Simpson, some really, really creative and cool stuff, because it wasn't going to be as simple as just handing the football off behind the offensive line and getting the job done. Alabama was just 2 rushing yards in the first half. Finished with 72, which felt like a lot after that first half. Alabama, again, I thought in the second half, more intent on trying to establish the run. It still wasn't easy. Jeremy Bernard, you look at the rushing stats, he still had a big, big part to do with that. Of course, giving Alabama the lead there late. That was an interesting sequence, because once he got to the back end, once he got the first down, and that's a situation I understand I understand gnashing the teeth where Connor Talty is concerned. He's had some misses this year, as we've chronicled here on Ryer on YouTube. Pretty much all of those have been beyond 45 plus. I think he's got one miss inside 46 or 47. The other four are all beyond at or beyond that number. But you still didn't want to put it on his toe. You didn't want to put it on his foot from 47, 48 yards. And it felt like for a minute there, based on Alabama's approach and the pace at which it was working and the down and distance it was finding itself in, that that may very well be the case. Didn't play out that way, though. Made the plays. And this is a game a year ago. Alabama doesn't win. I don't think it does. I mean, we saw Alabama in this game essentially last year, and damn sure didn't win them. So getting that unranked opponent on the road monkey off of Kalen DeBoer's back, at least for this Saturday, a big, big W for the Crimson Tide, who now goes into the bye week, get rested, get well, see how some of your players who have been out are responding and trying to get back into the rotation. But really a game ultimately on Saturday that early on, it felt like South Carolina was trying to give Alabama as many opportunities as possible to take control of the game. Alabama wouldn't take it. South Carolina finally got around to, I think, feeling like, hey, you know what? This is something we can do. And confidence is a hell of a thing, even for a 3-4 team, especially when they're playing at home. I thought you saw it with Lenore Sellers as that second half wore on. I thought you could see where he could smell it a little bit as it got later into the third and into the fourth. But huge, huge down the stretch for Alabama. The offense kicks in just in time. You know, coming out of the half, you didn't really feel like you're going to need heroic performances down in the latter stages of the game, but it's exactly how it turned out. And the guys you kind of turn to as your heroic options came through for you, really on both sides of the ball. I thought, you know, Tim Keenan on the Sellers fumble, he really keyed that, you know. I thought he really keyed that with stuffing the run to begin with, because going into that possession, even after Alabama tied it up at 22, I thought, well, I don't see South Carolina really getting away from Lenore Sellers with the ball in his hands. And Mike Shula, South Carolina offensive coordinator, seemed intent on following that approach. But Deontay Lawson able to get the strip after Tim Keenan stuffs that run initially. Totally different dynamic, it seems like, for that Alabama run defense when 96 is in the game versus when he's out. And I think London Simmons is going to be a star. I really do. But I don't feel like right now, when Keenan is out of there, you've got an early down war daddy along the lines of Tim Keenan, you know, especially with Jeremiah Beeman out. So Keenan really keyed that sequence, ultimately credited with the fumble recovery. My biggest concern on that play was not whether or not Sellers actually lost the football before he made contact with the ground. I thought once it was ruled a fumble on the field, it was going to be very, very hard to overrule that, because it looked like a fumble. And it was, but I wondered if the clear recovery was going to show up as much, because I think at the bottom of all that, I think Sellers took for granted or just assumed that he was down, because I think Sellers had a chance to get on that ball down there and he didn't. But so ultimately it was Keenan. Just a wild, wild turn of events there. Alabama cashes in on it. 15 points for Alabama in the final 3 minutes. So you take them where you can get them, especially at the end of a stretch like this for Alabama in SEC play and going into the bye week and knowing what November is going to present, when it's going to be kind of an Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma round robin. And then you throw in an Iron Bowl matchup against what will likely be an unranked Auburn team on the road. plenty of time to look ahead to that. What about some unsung heroes? I'd love to hear from you too, all you guys, as we'll work through this in the comments. Blake Dowd punting the football today, I thought, unsung hero. Had to be his best game to date. Great job by Blake Dowd. Special teams, though, were not without fail. This would have been an all three phases loss if you lost the game Saturday, because the punt return mishap there in the fourth quarter, that felt like a death nail, didn't it? At that point in the game, the situation involving Cole Adams as your return guy, Keon Saab down there, trying to help you on your return unit. You get a ball off of Saab, a recovery by South Carolina. And at that point, you're thinking, well, that's how you lose football games on the road. And it felt like, I tweeted as much on X, this is a guide to continuously losing football games on the road to unranked opponents. But hey, Alabama ultimately got it done. That's all that matters. And I think that's echoed here by SK 1452. We'll take the win. O-line was bad. 93-6 living in the backfield. It's a good point, because it wasn't just Dylan Stewart and Brian Thomas Jr. that were giving you fits. It was across that defensive line. It seemed to become more problematic. That being said, I thought Alabama, as we talked about earlier, actually ran the ball a little bit better. I was surprised. We saw more of this late, maybe later in the second half. I thought Grubb would move Ty Simpson more by design, because, you know, it is going to be tough with those edge guys, especially if you get in a situation where you're predictable on top of it because you can't run the football. So that was something I was anticipating a little bit. I guess you could say Ryan Grubb saved the best for last, because with the wildcat look and the handoffs between Bernard and Ty Simpson, when Bernard went wildcat down there, I thought there's no way, this is a straight up run out of the wildcat. This has to be something to tie so he can throw it, because he was offset, I think, there to the left. And that's kind of what happened. What else do we got here in the comments, gang? Yeah. Donald Andrews chiming in, says took a long time on that game tying drive for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's part of you got to admire the poise and the patience. It kind of felt like this is really the possession. You know, once you got under 5 minutes and then you're under three and you're wondering, are you going to be in a position where the 2 minute doesn't even help you? You know, the 2 minute warning doesn't even help you. But I think you got in there on the touchdown pass, right, from Ty to Jeremy just before the 2 minute. And so, look, better safe than sorry. And you still had to hit the 2 point. And so, again, Grubb, still got some stuff in that bag. And Kalen kind of talked about it in the post game. Says, look, we're actually banking some of this stuff that you haven't even seen yet. And not just banking it, but repping it during the week. So there's still more in there. I don't know how much more there is for Caden Proctor. You know, the Caden streak kind of came to an end down there in the red zone when you tried to hand it to him there as a – offset back, and you weren't able to kind of get it done. Give Ty some credit too. Ty Simpson on the touchdown pass to Josh Cuevas there in the first half did a nice job coming off his primary guy, getting back to Josh Cuevas there in the middle of the end zone. And you were able to separate or fit it in between a couple of former Alabama players, Justin Okoronkwo and Sean Murphy at the linebacker positions. Donald says Ty Simpson needs to work on that deep ball. Yeah, the first half, that's as borderline scattershot as we've seen Ty Simpson. And look, you think about the level of play this guy has operated at for six or seven games now. I mean, he was due to have one of those kind of games. He He did struggle at times, though, just keeping the ball on the field. He took the deep shot, I think, to Ryan there in the first half. He threw that ball 65 yards in the air. You know, so if you wonder about juice, I don't, but maybe some people do. There was plenty. There was plenty of juice. Had an opportunity on a deep ball to Jeremy Bernard there in the second half. That was a pretty well-thrown ball. DB for South Carolina made a hell of a play in coverage. Maybe the one that he would like to have back the most was the crossing route to Jeremy in the middle of the field there. I think it was the third quarter. And it looked like South Carolina had busted leverage in the back end. And so if he hits Bernard on that dagger, it's going to be a touchdown. And he just kind of airmailed him. Now, look, you know, pass rush is getting after you. You know what else? He had some balls deflected today at the line of scrimmage too. And you don't know how much that plays into it. I think protection in part had something to do with Alabama's approach late in the game too, when it got the ball back after the fumble recovery. And there's only so much aggression you can put forth in terms of pushing the ball down the field if you're not sure you can protect. And so the one thing, yeah, you didn't want to put the 45 plus yarder on Talty, but you can't take a sack there either. As you get deeper into that possession, second, third down, especially, and knock yourself totally out of field goal range. So I'm sure, that had something to do with it too. It wasn't just about, you know, trying to take the clock. Ed chiming in here says Formby and that right tackle position is a concern. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just limited to one guy today though. You know, the fourth down play that I'm sure a lot of folks are going to have a problem with Ryan Williams because he didn't make the catch. I thought he actually made a pretty good adjustment on a ball that was impacted because, you got beat on off your left edge and he takes a hit that impacts the throw. Everybody talks about the Ryan Williams drop. But, you got beat by pretty much a backside pass rusher who was able to win decisively enough to still hit your quarterback and force an unstable throw. Tim chiming in here says, Travis, Justin Jefferson, and Lawson had some amazing moments tonight. Finally seeing our middle linebackers do something. They have played better. There's no doubt about it. And, the one thing I'll say, it feels like the light's really gone on for a guy like Jefferson, who you've always known in terms of just playing downhill and striking people. He can more than handle that. But he seems to be more of a right place at the right time kind of guy now too. Now, they brought him on a delayed blitz there, I think in the third quarter. I think it was the third quarter. And he just runs right into the right guard. And, just it opens up right there in the middle of the defense. And Sellers is able to, hit it and go pick up big yardage with his legs. But, yeah, for the most part, I think the middle linebackers, the inside linebackers played pretty good. Lawson had a pass breakup that I recall. Nakai Hill-Green. Some of these games of late, I think, have been more in his wheelhouse, to today being among them. So there you go. Donald chiming in here. Bernard didn't trust Talty. That was wild because the South Carolina DB, I guess, at that point, did trust the Talty was the South Carolina DB that kind of just rolled out the red carpet for Bernard to go get in the end zone. And I understand I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, this is going to be a chip shot. They just converted the third. He's already converted the third down. Now, this is a chip shot. But that might have been the wrong assumption at that point. And plus, there was under 40 seconds left on the clock. And with Bernard getting in the end zone. Now you got to go score a touchdown in less than 40 seconds. I did like the decision by Alabama to keep the ball kind of in play with the squib on the ensuing kickoff. And Harbor had a problem with that, you know, muffed it a little bit. So you were able to take some more time off the clock and really put South Carolina in a bad spot from a field goal perspective. Ed. Yeah, I agree, Ed. Tim Keenan definitely is a difference maker in the middle of that defensive line, no doubt about it. Also says LSU looking pedestrian tonight. Is it LSU looking pedestrian or might Texas A&M just be that damn good? I think it's probably a combination of things. This LSU A&M game tonight kind of looks like Alabama LSU, or did look like Alabama LSU last season. And you just wonder for Brian Kelly, you know, what's that going to look like? Tim says, Ty had ice water running through his veins on the final drive. Gotta love that. No amendment is too big for him. Yeah, I mean, he hangs in there. It wasn't his best night. There's no doubt about it. But you could say that from top to bottom with the Alabama offense. And you got to give South Carolina some credit for that. But it just felt like it was a little bit of uncharted waters for Alabama offensively to come out and really struggle like that in an opening quarter. I don't think we've really seen that this season in an opening quarter. It was a rough start. Let's see here. What do we got? Paul, our pal, chimes in here. Find you someone who loves you as much as Grubb loves running jam into a bad front on first down. Yeah, I mean, in the second half, it was probably smart to do it, but it just felt like they call it establishing the run because it's something you do or you try to do from the outset of the game. It's hard to start establishing the run in the third quarter. But I'll say this, and also what was hard tonight too was as good a play action team as Alabama has been, even in play action, they struggle to protect. I mean, Ty's fumble, and he's got to protect the ball better, but that's a shot tonight that I don't put as much of it on him. The fumble against Missouri, I do, because he had an opportunity to do a better job of protecting the ball. You know, tonight he was hit on a couple of big plays, including the one fumble that he lost. And, you know, they've been so good in play action, especially from under center on early downs. But, you know, even with 8-man protection, like on the blindside hit he took for the fumble tonight, that was 8-man protection. And I think South Carolina brought 5, and they still got a corner cat home. Now, you know, Daniel Hill's in the game at running back. You're running that hard play action. You're asking him to take the play action fake and still be, you know, a protector on that edge, or at least that seemed like the call or the protection plan. And he wasn't able to get home, but the South Carolina corner did. Jay is, he's over the Proctor thing as a ball carrier. He says he hopefully saw the last handoff to Proctor. I don't know if I'm not saying I'm ready to see more of it, but with Grubb and Kalen, I don't know. Ricky's asking, is the problem the O-line coach? Is the O-line coach the problem? You know, without being there every day, it's hard to say for sure. I'll say this. To me, it's kind of like quarterback at some of those spots. You know, like they always say about, well, if you got two or three quarterbacks, you don't have one. Kind of feel that way about a couple of the spots on the offensive line. I think in time, Alabama's definitely going to have a down-in, down-out player in Michael Carroll, whether that's at tackle, whether that's at guard. But, I mean, I think you got what you got in a couple of three of those guys. Geno Vandermark, I want to say at Michigan State, wasn't, you know, a 2 or 3 year starter. Cam Dewberry at Texas A&M wasn't a 2 or 3 year starter. They made starts at places like Michigan State and Texas A&M respectively. But this is not 2012 Alabama up front. Let's be clear about that. And it's not 2012 Jeff Stoutland, you know, maybe the best offensive line coach in all of football, NFL, college, whatever, Jeff Stoutland. So, no, it's not Jeff Stoutland coaching this group either, but it's not Cyrus Quanjo. It's not Barrett Jones. It's not DJ Fluker. It's not Chance Warmack. It's not Anthony Steen. No, it's not that group either. And I've said it before, I just think their approach to offensive football isn't the same either, although – you know, that 2012 group, they could do it both ways. They could obviously do it with, was it TJ Yeldon, Eddie Lacy? Were they both 1,000-yard rushers in 2012? I mean, that was a different offensive line. And the tight ends you had doing the job as blockers in 2012. And the approach was more of a commitment to it, too. This isn't. Donald Andrews says he agrees on the crossing route. Yeah, I think that's what, that's the crosser to Jeremy Bernard, that if they hit that, that would seemingly have gone for six. Yeah, Ed, that was. We talked about that earlier, the coverage on the deep ball to Jeremy there in the third quarter, or fourth quarter, I guess it was. Hell of a play by 24. It's an interesting point by Rad here. He says, I think we missed Lotsier Brooks today. Maybe, but unless Lotsier Brooks could help you in protection sometimes. You had drops, though. There's no doubt about it. You had some drops. Ryan obviously had one. You were without Isaiah Horton for some of that game today. Rico Scott had a chance to make a grab or two, and he wasn't able to always get it done. But when you needed your guys, you know, guys like Jeremy Bernard, Ryan Williams, you know, they got the job done. Josh Cuevas in the red zone. I mean, Ryan was targeted 11 times, caught 7 balls for 72 yards. Jeremy, 14 targets, 5 catches, 54 yards. Daniel Hill, first half alone, he had like, what, 3 for 71? Jam caught 3 for 23. So we talked about it before. You're going to have to sort of parcel out scrimmage yards for the backs, especially. Jam Miller, 10 for 26 running it. But he also caught 3 for 23. Daniel Hill, 76 receiving yards to go along with 10 rushing yards. I know to a lot of you that sounds like putting lipstick on a pig. But again, that's just kind of how it works, I think, more often than not in this offense. I will say this. I think there is a potential reckoning coming for Alabama when it gets into a situation where it has to get a yard, you know, on the ground. And you know, whether or not it can do that ultimately could go a long way in determining what kind of run this team is capable of. Man, these comments are, let's see here. Chasen Smith says, run scheme needs to get better if we want to go all the way. You know, we talked about this a minute ago. I agree, and we've seen more diversity in the run game at times, and I think we saw more of it tonight. I think they ran the ball the best way they knew how. And, you know, you don't have a Derrick Henry in the backfield. And we just sort of outlined your offensive line in terms of what you got. Man. Jay chiming back in says, good time for a bye week. No doubt about it. I think it's a great week for a bye week for everybody, not just the players and coaches either. And you're going to need it. You know, I know LSU got taken apart in the second half in Baton Rouge tonight, but you know, Whit Weeks hasn't played in a couple weeks. I'd be surprised if Whit Weeks doesn't play against Alabama in two Saturdays, especially where the season's at right now for LSU. It's all every week's a different matchup. David chiming in here, stressful game, but it was nice to get the win after we tried to throw it. Wow. NBA stuff there, maybe. No, I felt like South Carolina was ripe for the pickings early in this game, and Alabama wasn't really able to take advantage of it. And the longer it went, the tougher it was going to be. Ed says A&M positioned nicely to maybe go undefeated, play at Missouri on November 8th. Yeah, I mean, you look at November for A&M, the schedule in general worked out great for A&M, especially once they got the win at Notre Dame. Everybody will talk about the SEC, but you think about A&M's schedule, really, Notre Dame, LSU, those are going to be the toughest road games. And they handle both, and they do get Missouri on November 8th. It looks like Bo Perbula will probably be out at the quarterback position in that game. So sets up great for Texas A&M to be. What about A&M 10-0 going to Austin to play a Texas team that had no business winning in Starkville tonight? Oof, man. You talk about teams that lose, figuring out new and creative ways to lose. That was Mississippi State, 17 up on Texas there in the latter stage of the second half. Get tied up on a punt return. Punt return for Texas has been maybe its best play the last three games. At Big Frank says Jam was also running tentatively. I don't know if he's running. I'll say this. There was indecision, it felt like. Now, he had the one explosive run there in the first half called back. And I know we talked about Alabama and the offensive linemen and things like that. I didn't really see Dewberry with a hold on that play. Now, he did have his hands outside, so that'll get you called in and of itself a lot of times, because I think officials, when they see that, they just anticipate a hold. I thought South Carolina on the touchdown that wasn't by Lenora Sellers probably got hit that way. I thought there were two or three holds tonight, both ways, that shouldn't have or could have been easily could have not been called. Big Frank also says we will need Proctor down the stretch for short yardage situations. Oof. Yeah, I think you can work Daniel Hill there. And the creativity in the red zone is a very nice thing to have in your back pocket. You know, and there is a line between being cute and being aggressive. And I think in some corners it may look like or feel like Ryan Grubb's being cute. And if there is, I would say it's more with Proctor. It's worked for the most part to this point. I don't feel like it's something that I would necessarily want in the hands of an offensive tackle in a championship kind of game. But they're about 75% after today in terms of success rate. But the more that you put on tape, you know, you lose the surprise element of it too. David asking if Brian Kelly will survive this year. Big month. And it may be too late. But the money, you know, we've heard so much about these buyouts and is it too much and with the revenue sharing and everything. I don't know. I don't think it's slowing down some of these teams all that much to go ahead and write those checks. They're big though. SK says the running back seemed to be slow getting through the hole at times. Need a back with burst. I wouldn't disagree with that. You know, there's not a truly dynamic guy in your top three or four. Your most dynamic guy is probably AK Deer. And he's obviously not at a point where you're comfortable enough with him down in and down out to make him a part of things. Ricky chiming in says Joe Pendry was a good OL coach. Yes, he was. Joe kind of got that thing going on that first staff for Nick Saban. Text Tider, our guy, chiming in here with a howdy TR. Tex, what's up? Yeah, I see. You're right. James Smith had a couple of offsides. Had the third and five on South Carolina's first possession of the game. Who knows? Maybe you get off the field early there and it helps. But, yeah, jumped early and then jumped in the fourth quarter too. Xavier Brown, that was a play there in the fourth quarter or the third quarter, where it felt like, boy, this is another situation where after the game, we'll talk about stats. Held South Carolina under 350 total yards. Held South Carolina to, you know, 15 offensive points or all this stuff. But the counter to that last year was in the biggest moments, this team, that team, didn't come up big. And that felt like a play. Xavier played that perfectly. He kind of dropped off and baited that throw from Lenore Sellers, and he's right there to make a very, very big play while Alabama still had the slim lead, and he sees it go off his hands. Absolutely. That felt really big, and it loomed for a long time. Yeah, Ryan had the drop, and then – you had to be anticipating after that fourth down stop for South Carolina there in the third quarter that the shot was coming as much as anything because of field position, you know, and the momentum swing. And I don't know what happened on that deep ball. It looked like Xavier Brown, but I wasn't sure if Keon Saab was supposed to be deeper than the deepest there. Hard to say. But Nick Harbor is a freak. And you saw some things even early in the game with Dejon Lee on him. You know, South Carolina's first possession, they went down and got the field goal. You know, Harbor was getting a big cushion because he, you know, he had scored against Alabama and Tuscaloosa last year. He's 6'5", and he's a track guy. And so Dejon was given big cushion. And that's why, because of that deep ball there in the second half. Definitely a big sequence there with the fourth down stop and those things that played into South Carolina, to its credit, taking advantage. Who else we got here? BetRat12 says, yes, Proctor needs to be working on being a much better tackle. It wasn't Caden's best game. I mean, you could kind of pick a guy up front, maybe other than Brailsford, and say that about him. I think Michael Carroll had the hands to the face penalty. Felt like more penalties, too. Something Alabama done a better job of this year has been penalties, and especially penalties. Especially penalties on the road. Big Frank says the solution is to run Daniel Hill more than 15 carries. Yeah. I don't know if this is that offense. Big Frank. Kino says Proctor and Hill both got Ty killed on that sack and fumble. Yeah, it was to that side. I've always said I'm not entirely sure of the calls from my couch, so I won't try to play PFF and definitively make calls about who gets the check or who gets the minus. But it It looked like Daniel Hill had the pickup there coming from the boundary. And maybe that was on Proctor too. Seth King says, can we please hire Scott Huff after this year? Tex Hider, 100 plus watching and only 20 likes. Come on, folks. Yeah, you heard Tex. Hit that thumbs up for us if you don't mind. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, we would love it if you'd go ahead and hit that subscription button as well. It's free. Come on. I don't know exactly what Steven said there. I might need a translator. This boost won that game. IC says, I think that Proctor experiment needs to be placed on the shelf unless he is used as a lead blocker. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Those boys, Steven said. Okay. Yeah, they did. I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, those were late in that game today, tonight. Those were plays Alabama didn't make in games against Vanderbilt and games against Oklahoma last year. No doubt about it. Michael wants to know, why do we not try to set up punt returns? We let the punter sit back there and take his time before punting, so we rarely ever get to return one. It's a good question. It is mostly a ball security thing right now, it seems like, for Alabama on punt returns. Michael asking about OL. Yeah, I see. It is TR after dark. How about that? It's late for an old man, you know? Late night. Yeah. Frank, I felt that way based on the technique that Xavien Brown was playing on that deep ball. He played it leverage-wise like he was expecting help from the inside. And there have been instances in the past where Keon, can be a little bit late or get a little bit off because of the stuff that's going on maybe in front of him. But it felt that way. It looked that way. At least it looked that way in terms of how Xavien played it. Yeah. Let's see. What else? Still working these. Frank says, I don't think we run Daniel Hill enough to judge him correctly. Well, I mean, they obviously like him. He's in there a lot. He was in there a lot today. Now, yeah, in terms of what might benefit his skill set and his physical attributes, yeah. You know, 240-pound backs, usually the yield comes, the benefit comes once you get them north of 15, 20 carries, right? You kind of beat down a defense. But they're not really wired that way offensively. You know, they're quarterback centric and they're more situationally based and they're more at the end of the night, what did a back give you in terms of running it and catching it? And Hill tonight, I mean, four catches, what, 73 yards? Definitely came up big. But I'm not saying you're not right in terms of how Daniel Hill might flourish best given what he's working with. I'm just saying what we've seen to this point, and even if you go back to Washington or whatever, you know, they're just not going to be a 40 runs a game offense. They're not going to run the ball 40 times a game. You know, if they get 75 snaps, they're not going to run it 35, 40 times. They're not going to be 50-50 most nights. And tonight, today, they were 43 pass attempts, 23 rushes, and that's 43 pass attempts. It was more than that in terms of dropbacks. Defensively for Alabama, I wanted to get a little bit more into that. Bray Hubbard with a team high 8 tackles. And from the outset, Alabama rotating pretty heavily once again, even on that opening series. Saw Bray come out, Zay Mincy come in at center. We saw some 3-4 look with Justin Hill on the field to go along with Yonzi Pierre. Yonzi with another tackle for loss, a couple of quarterback hurries. So he continues to be exactly what they need at that wolf position. Between Deontay, Justin, and Nakai Hill-Green, 21 tackles, 7 each for each of your 3 inside linebackers. Alabama in the game with 5 pass breakups. Bray had 2 of them. Deontay had 1. Zabian had the pass breakup that, you know, he'll tell you, I'm sure, interception that he should have secured there in the third quarter. And again, I thought, you know, Blake Dowd, give that guy a lot of credit, punting the football. 5 punts, 55.4. That's a nomination, I think, for SEC Special Teams Player of the Week. 5 for 55.4, had a long of 63 inside the South Carolina 20. And all 5 of his punts were in excess of 50 yards. Some J.K. Scott-ish right there. Not much in the return game at all. Caleb Edwards, I'll give him some credit. He was heads up there. I think it was in the third quarter, wasn't he? That little short kick, he was able to get on it. Alabama got some pretty good field position out of that. Oh, wow. Ty, though, in terms of completion percentage, certainly under the standard he's established so far this season, 56% on 43 attempts, and also yards per attempt, really low. Under 6 yards per pass attempt. South Carolina had exactly the kind of game it needed. Kind of took away the explosiveness, totally limited the run game for Alabama, and got enough of help from Alabama to be able to pull this thing off. And again, Alabama loses 2 fumbles. Really fortunate to end up kind of even in turnovers, 2-2. Both these teams came into this game, by the way, Alabama really at the top of the SEC standings in terms of turnover margin. South Carolina, not bad, +4 coming in. So they end up being a draw there. South Carolina, 2 of 8 on thirds in the first half. One of the, if not the worst, third down offense in the SEC. 2 of 8 in the first half, finished 6 of 17. So 4 of 9 in the second half. It felt like more, though, you know. So there you go. Aftermath on a Saturday night. We're going to hopefully get into some second watch on Sunday. How about that? And then, of course, Sunday night, we'll have Chase Goodbread with us on Talking Tide. So we'll get into that as well. Oh, gosh. Who's this? IC asking, is the defense considered a swarm defense, or I will tackle you with my arms defense? Yeah, the tackling at times could be better. I've said it, you know, I don't care what they call it. You know, and I will say this, in some big moments, they have made the plays. Defense scored, was responsible for basically what, 9 points against Tennessee last week, had another touchdown this week. Now, in between all of that, it can sometimes not look all that great. But it's kind of like a sausage factory. I don't really want to watch how it's made, but does it taste good at the end of the day? Maybe. Maybe that's the best way to kind of look at it. We've got a comment here. I hope we get some major improvement from the line during this bye week. We need it. Yeah, I mean, with what's coming up, and I know LSU the last few weeks hasn't looked like that defense that it did maybe in the first half of the season, but you know it's still going to be a challenge. They've got guys, you know, that especially at the linebacker level, if Whit Weeks is able to get back, that can really be a problem. And they're going to get the bye week too. I think for LSU, it's a kind of psyche game. How do they roll into Tuscaloosa, you know? And that's what I think, as much as anything, getting Whit Weeks back would be huge for them, because he's the kind of guy that will elevate not just the quality of play on defense, but the energy. They're going to need all the energy they can muster after getting ripped tonight. That's right. That's what we were just talking about. Dead Rats. That's a username. When the moments were their biggest, Alabama got it done. Is it sustainable through the entire month of November? We're going to find out. But tonight was huge, because if you don't win that one, you pretty much have to be in win out mode in the month of November. And I understand everybody wants to win every game regardless, but in terms of achieving some first level goals in year two under Kalen DeBoer, a lot of that was precariously close to going straight out the window in Columbia, South Carolina on Saturday. But as it is, Alabama 29, South Carolina 22. Once again, thank you so much for chiming in and checking in here on Aftermath. We'll have continuing coverage of Alabama, South Carolina coming up on Sunday right here on Ryer on YouTube. Good night, everybody.